Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Today we're entering an exciting new passage of the Word of God. We're leaving the scene of Jacob's well, where the Samaritan woman was wonderfully transformed, and we're now going back to Cana, where we were a little while ago, where Jesus turned water into wine. Now here is Jesus' second journey to Cana, and so reads our text. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman says unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Let us pray. Father, we pray now for thy sacred anointing on the declaration of this precious word from the Gospel of John, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I want to end the scripture reading here and just get into the story. As you know, the story ends with the nobleman's son being healed, but why is this story in the Bible? That many times is my question when I read a text and I don't understand. Isn't that your question at times? Why is this in the Bible? And I try to find the significance of that particular story. So, my friend, Jesus healed thousands of people. And out of the thousands of miraculous healings, why did he choose this story, this healing story, to go in the Bible? I didn't really have the answer to this question until I asked the Lord to give me the answer, and now I have it. So listen to me as I share with you the precious word of the Lord on John chapter 4, the last part of it. First, let us consider this passage. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Capernaum was way down from Cana. It is a breathtaking ride of many switchbacks to travel by car bus from Cana down to Capernaum. I've taken this journey 18 times in my life. So, verse 47 says, When he, the nobleman, heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son. This nobleman of Capernaum began a continuous steep upward climb out of Capernaum towards Cana, which may have taken him 2 days or possibly more. This man knew about Jesus' healing power. His son was at the point of death, and he was convinced that if Jesus would come down, which would require a steep downward walk for the Lord of possibly 2 or 1 day, if Jesus would put his hand on his son, then his son would be healed. I want you to observe how Jesus responded to this nobleman's request. Jesus' first response was a rebuke. And this is what he said, Jesus speaking, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Here the nobleman had bathed in his own sweat. For 2+ days, he was utterly exhausted. He was heartbroken over the sickness of his son and worried about him dying any second as he made his way up towards Cana. Here he's coming to Jesus, and Jesus gives him a rebuke, treating him like he didn't have the right kind of faith. Except, he says, ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. In essence, Jesus expressed his disappointment at the man's faith, at the kind of faith he had. Jesus never wanted to be known as a miracle worker. He wanted to be known as who he really was. So his first response was rather shocking. There's something that I was told when I went to seminary, and that was that Jesus was always indirect, diplomatic, and careful not to offend anyone. But when I read the Gospels, I can't find such a thing, my dear friend. In John 3, for example, we see Jesus meeting a total stranger by the name of Nicodemus. And before he says anything else, he says unto him, You must be born again. That's direct, isn't it? Is that the way you greet people when you meet them the first time? You must be born again. And then in the fourth chapter of John, we have Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman. And all of a sudden, he tells her to go and call her husband, knowing that she had five husbands, and the man she lived with now was not her husband. I want you to know, as I said many times before, Jesus never tried to make any man feel good. So many churches today just try to make people feel good. Jesus is not trying to make you feel good. He's trying to make you be good. And then feeling good after that is a wonderful side product. The book of Hebrews says, "Do not despise the chastening of the Lord." If you can handle a little bit of chastening, there's great hope for you, my friend. Remember, when Jesus rebukes you, it's never for the intent to hurt you, but it's always to help you, as we find out in just a few minutes. You should always remember that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so, look beyond the rebuke. Jesus at one time rebuked Peter. He told him, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't care for the things of the kingdom, but you care for the things of the world." But you know, 6 days later, Jesus had Peter with him on the Mount of Transfiguration to behold the pre-incarnation glory of the Lord. Always look beyond the rebuke. Always look beyond the rebuke. There's help for you on the way, my friend, when Jesus rebukes you. So here was this puffing nobleman. Instead of getting a compliment, he gets a rebuke. I don't know how many people have been lost by rebuke when they expected a compliment. I don't know how many people have left the churches because their pastor gave them a rebuke in order to help them, and they just walked off rather mad. Oh, my friend, I say it again. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, for whom the Lord loveth. He chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Now let's look at the nobleman's response to this rebuke. The nobleman's response was very similar to the response of the Syrophoenician woman who also received a rebuke and could not be deterred. This rebuke did not quench the nobleman's faith. Rather, it made him more determined to get what he came for. It did not matter for the nobleman whether he was complimented or rebuked. What mattered to him is that he had a dying son. He knew that Jesus had what it took to heal him, and he was going to keep asking the Lord to heal his son. So we have this verse 47. It says that the nobleman besought Jesus that he would come down and heal his son. Then in verse 48, we see Jesus rebuking him, saying, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." And then the nobleman's response is, "Sir, come down ere my child die." Do you know what I believe happened to Jesus here? I believe Jesus got happy. Jesus got real happy. When you heard the nobleman's response, Jesus was always looking for a man, my friend, who would not get his feelings hurt, who would not be discouraged, who would not be stopped with his requests, who would not be driven off by a few tough words, who stood his ground, and who stood with his petition until that petition was answered. And Jesus got the idea here from the nobleman's response that no matter what he would say to the nobleman, that this man could never be shaken loose. He'd have him at his side forever unless he would do something about his dying son. So we have Jesus' response in verse 50. And now we're going from a negative response to a positive response. The whole thing got turned around now, and Jesus says unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." Hallelujah! What a surprise! What a surprise! Oh, what a shortcut to healing the nobleman received here for his son. The nobleman wanted Jesus to walk down with him, to walk all the way down with him in one day or a day and a half's journey, and put his hand on his son, but Jesus said, "No, we're going to do it better than that." He says, "I'm just saying a word, and your son is healed." Let me ask you, my friend, what is it worth to persevere through a rebuke? What is it worth to keep believing in a dark, in a hard place, and not to give up? Well, this gets me back to Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." If you take the training, if you take the discipline of the Lord, my friend, you'll get the blessing. In the presence of Jesus' loving rebuke, the nobleman's faith grew, and he received more than he asked for, and he received it immediately. The next line says, "And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way." The nobleman's faith grew. He believed now that he did not what he did not believe before. Before he believed, Jesus had to walk all the way down from the hilltop to Capernaum to put his hand on his son. But now he believed that this was not necessary, that Jesus' word alone was all it would take. So in a sense, this nobleman's faith was a forerunner of the faith that we, my friend, exercise in the Lord Jesus daily. It is faith without seeing. We do not have to have Jesus come down from heaven to put his hand physically upon our heads in order for something to happen. We can simply ask Jesus, "Say the word, and he'll do it." We can say here, the nobleman's faith was the first fruits of truly New Testament Pentecostal faith. And isn't this what Jesus taught through Thomas, his apostle, when he said, "Blessed is he who has not seen, but yet believed." So, my friend, this old man went up the hill. His faith was like a little candle, but he came down the hill with his face like a blazing torch. It says here that he went his way, and of course, on the way, he hears some noise. He hears some rocks rolling down the hill. He hears some voices, and hear the voices of his servants on the way up the hill to meet him, to bring him the good news, saying, "Master, thy son liveth." What a meeting these men had on the hillside. It was a real, praise the Lord, hillside meeting. Then the father comes down. He arrives at his house. He puts his arm around the miracle son. And it says, because of this miracle, the whole house believed in Jesus. What another great bonus this nobleman received. Because he worked his way through the rebuke, he received instant healing for his son, and his whole house became believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me end this little message today and ask you this question. How many people would be in heaven if all those who were rebuked by the Lord Jesus, or by a loving pastor, or by a saintly friend, how many would be in heaven, how many more would be in heaven if they would have been faithful in the rebuke to move forward from there to the mighty blessings of the Lord? How many people's faith that was like a little candle would have turned into blazing torches if they would have persevered in the hard places of life? Yes, Hebrews says, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth." And now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Our Father, we thank thee for speaking to our hearts today, and help us to be steady, to be full of faith in the dark places of life, because the blessings will be just around the corners. We ask for your mercy and help in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.